Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Sin, Forgiveness, and Consequences. Years ago, someone I knew sent me a text just going off on me for something I did that they did not agree with. At the end of the text, they said, "Sorry." And I still remember so clearly thinking, "No, you're not sorry. If you were sorry, you would never have hit send on that text." That's like asking forgiveness and then committing the sin. And just for the record, the proper way to repent is after you've committed the sin, not before and not during. The scripture we're going to be talking about is Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I have been asked many times over the years about whether there are consequences for our sins even after we have repented and been forgiven of them. And because the consequences of our sins now are so much faster to show up, I thought this would be a good thing to talk about tonight. Many people believe if they have asked forgiveness, there will be no consequence to their sins at all. Many more believe there will be no consequences for their sin regardless of whether they repent and ask forgiveness or not. What do you believe about the consequences of sin? I believe if you repent, there will be no eternal consequences for your sin. But there are often still earthly consequences for your sin. And I'm going to explain this. This does not mean God did not forgive you. He forgives you as soon as you truly repent. And to repent means to change direction. It means to turn around and go the other way. So true repentance is, "Lord, I'm so sorry for doing that. Please forgive me for that. I'm not going to do that anymore." And then you immediately stop doing that sin. That's true repentance. When you say sorry, you ask forgiveness, and you turn around and stop doing the sin, you go the other way. Those of you who have been listening to me for a long time, y'all have heard me many times illustrate this point with the analogy of the teenage girl who commits fornication and gets pregnant. Then she repents. She truly repents. She isn't going to do it ever again. But she is still pregnant, isn't she? And the young man who got her pregnant is still going to be a teenage father and now has an obligation to support his child, doesn't he? So does this mean God did not forgive them? Not at all. He forgave them as soon as they repented and asked for forgiveness. Forgiveness removes the eternal consequences of your sin. It does not remove the earthly consequences of your choices. And that does not mean God's going to use the earthly consequences of your choices to punish you. That does not mean that, okay? A lot of people think that, "Oh, he's going to punish me now because I did this." No, he forgave you. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 23. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.'" This is the story of the thief that was hanging by Jesus on one of the crosses. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" Okay, clearly the thief had been forgiven because Jesus told him that he would be in paradise that day with him. But he still had to suffer the punishment for his crime on earth, didn't he? And just moments later, that thief died a very painful death. Do you see what happened? He was forgiven, so he had entrance into paradise, but he suffered the earthly consequence for his earthly sin. So why did he still have to die for his sin if he was forgiven? Because we reap what we sow, Galatians 6:7. Because earthly sins bring earthly consequences, which are a totally different thing than eternal consequences, like the unsaved suffer because they did not repent and get forgiveness. Because forgiveness addresses only our spiritual state. Consequences address our physical one. Let's say a man goes out, commits a crime one night, he kills somebody. He gets caught. He's sentenced to life in prison. In prison, he finds God and he gets saved. Then one day the Lord touches him and he's suddenly remorseful over what he has done. So he repents. Is he forgiven? You bet he is. And he is forgiven and he can expect to go to heaven when he dies. But he is still in prison. He is still in prison because prison is the consequence of his sinful action on earth. After King David had Uriah the Hittite killed so he could marry Bathsheba, the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to tell him the error of his ways. King David genuinely repented, but the Lord still took the first baby he fathered with Bathsheba. And because he had returned evil for good on Uriah, Uriah was one of David's mighties and he was completely devoted to the king's service. Because King David returned evil for good to Uriah, destruction never departed from King David's house again after that. His own son Absalom turned on him, betrayed him, and tried to take the kingdom from him. And then there was the Tamar incident. Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. So there was all that. There was all kinds of things that happened. David never again enjoyed the peace that he had before the sins with Bathsheba. God still loved him. God forgave him. But he had returned to evil for good. That's what I call the Proverbs 17:13 curse. That is a curse you bring on yourself when you return evil for good. Destruction never departs from your house. And you cannot break that curse and you cannot cast it out because you brought it on yourself and it's a spiritual law. Here's the thing. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, we have forgiveness of sins. We can repent and turn from our sins and he will forgive us. And I say turn from them because true repentance means to change direction. It doesn't mean every night you do the same sin and every night you say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, please forgive me. That's not repentance if you turn around and do it again. If you keep turning around and doing it again, you need to study true repentance. True repentance means give it up, okay? All right. Because we are in relationship with the Lord, we have forgiveness when we repent. But relationship has nothing to do with consequence. Our choices bring those on, and they are painful indeed, aren't they? I think we've all been there at some point or another. But here's the positive side of consequence. They will often drive us to our knees seeking the Lord for help in dealing with them. You know, Lord, I made a big mess. Please help. So the Lord can actually bring increased intimacy out of our failures. Now y'all know the secret about why I have such an intimate walk with the Lord, right? Okay, because we still have to face consequences for our sins, that does not mean that God is angry or has not forgiven us. Consequences from sin do not mean you are not saved or that God is mad at you and he's going to use that to beat you up. That's not the way he is. I have suffered consequences of my sins many times, sometimes decades later. And something would happen to me, I'd say, Lord, what's going on with this? And he'd say, oh, you remember when you did that? And I'd go, whoops, you still have to, and I'm like, okay, yep, I remember. If anyone tells you they never sinned again after they got saved, they are lying to you and possibly also to themselves. We all do at different times, knowingly or unknowingly. And the reason is because it is in our DNA. We have a sinful nature. And when he saves us, our nature gets better if we let him sanctify us. Meaning, when he shows us a sin he wants us to give up, we give it to him and we work with him and get rid of that. And then he sets us free from that one. And then we go on to the next sin. It's kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion, one sin at a time. When I got saved, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know that I need to lay all these sins down, but you and I both know this is a bunch of sin we're dealing with here. And I said, I'm going to trust you to show me one sin at a time, and I'll do my best to do what you show me to do. And that's the way we did it. And it took a long time, y'all. It took a long time. I was a professing Christian, and I was trying my best to live and do good, but there were a lot of sins that I did not know how to overcome. I didn't know how to give them up. I knew he wanted me to give them up. I didn't know how. It took me a long time to give some of them up. And this is also why I say, if you meet a Christian and they've got some area of sin in their life, don't just automatically condemn them, because we all have areas we have not overcome in. If you're sitting there thinking now how horrible I am or how horrible somebody else is, your area of sin may be pridefulness and, you know, judging people. We all have areas, because we're not going to be perfect till he comes back and gets us and perfects us. Okay? And you just have to die to that and understand that you're not perfect, no matter how perfect you think you are. And we wish that we were. We do. I wish I was perfect. I would love to never make a wrong choice. I have no idea what that would feel like, but but I would like it a lot. But we're not going to be perfect until Jesus comes back and gets us and changes us, y'all. And we need to be gentle on other people, because they're not perfect either. You know, one of the things that sets apart people who come out of the wilderness quickly and those who stay there for years is very often the attitude they have about what they have to suffer to be refined. If you become angry at God and complain constantly and resent the whole experience, you're only reminding him just how much you need to be refined. Can I just tell you that? If you humble yourself under his mighty hand and try to see what it is he wants to teach you, he will give you the grace to walk through it more easily. So let's remember that if we're having to walk out some consequences that our sin brought on us, let's remember that and not get mad at God for it, because we're the ones who committed the sins. He didn't tell us to do that. Psalm 103, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, or God knows we'd all be dead. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. So see, the people who fear him are those who repent. Okay, can I just tell you that? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Okay, God doesn't remember our sins after he forgives us. So he can't punish us for something he don't remember. If your child breaks a rule and you're going to give them a spanking, and then you forget what rule they broke, you're not going to spank them because you don't remember what they did. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The bottom line is, when we sin, we pay. I asked the Lord once why some people who act so wickedly don't seem to pay for their sins. They get off what we call get off scot-free. And he answered, and he said, if I did not see somebody pay for their wickedness down here on earth, it means that they are not saved, and they're going to pay for it on the other side for all eternity. I would rather pay here by far, wouldn't you? All right, that's all I have for y'all tonight. I'm sorry it's such a short podcast, but this is really what I felt like he wanted me to talk to you about. So I hope that this helps you to think about sin and forgiveness and consequences. Forgiveness deals with the spiritual side of the sin. Consequences deal with the physical side of the sin, okay? So thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.